I'm Kier from In Defense Of, a podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the one you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual. Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready, because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
You are listening to the Starling Tribune, a podcast dedicated to the Arrow TV show.
This guy gets more airtime than the Kardashians, right?
This podcast is not produced or maintained by the CW, Warner Brothers Television, CTV, or DC Comics. All characters, situations, and stories are the properties of Time Warner. I am the Oracle, and this is your Tribune.
Welcome back to the Starling Tribune. I am Stargate Pioneer. My friends call me SP. And your reporters for this 11th episode of Season 4 of the Starling Tribune are Chris.
Was going to go with Oracle, but it's taken.
And Neil.
We should have taken the car.
I am so schizoid, I can't go with just one guy. So here we go. We're going to rattle some off. You guys ready?
Let's do it.
You don't have to wait on me hand and foot, though I wouldn't say no to a blanket. Maybe my new code name should be Hot Wheels. I love how playing superhero is what we consider normal. And last but not least, we're gonna need to get some ramps. Those are all great Felicity quotes from the episode. If you haven't caught on, we do quotes from the episode. I have Felicity. This is a big Felicity episode. We have to pay Felicity homage, or should I say Overwatch? All right. This podcast is recorded on Thursday, January 28th, 2016, live on the Pleb streaming service. We're just three guys that discuss the TV show Arrow. Just a little reminder that I am not a comic expert. I'm really a sci-fi guy. That's science fiction for you that can't spell sci-fi. But I'm catching up with the comic lore thanks a lot to folks like Chris.
I thought sci-fi was spelled S-Y-F-Y.
That's skiffy. And Neil.
You know, there are sci-fi comics as well, so that's all good.
It is good. And there's like space comics too, like Venom, Space Knight. That's awesome. All right. During this podcast, we'll be talking about what happened in episode 11 of the CW show Arrow, as well as news, articles, and announcements that have dropped in the past and that could impact future episodes. It will contain spoilers, so consider yourself warned. And now, I have to recant a statement I made. Most of our past shows can now be found at the archives at GunnaGeekNetwork.com. We did a full accounting and found some minor holes. We'll be working on that in the coming weeks. So, Neil, we had the episode. Break it down for us.
Great. Thanks, SP. So this week we have AWOL, as we mentioned, Absent Without Leave, Season 4, Episode 11, air date Wednesday, January 27th. Now, we got some interesting directing and writing crew on this one. The director was Charlotte Brandstrom. Her first Arrow episode, she's done two episodes directing Madam Secretary, one episode of Chicago PD, and lots of French language and foreign language stuff. So she is transitioning from a European directing career to a North American career. It's exciting to have her join the Arrow crew. I think she did a fantastic job. The writers for this episode were Emilia Ortego Aldrich. This is his fourth Arrow episode. He also did Lost Souls, Al Sahim, Canaries, and he hasn't written anything else. He's only written for Arrow.
Nice.
No other shows whatsoever. Yeah. So way to break into the industry. We also have Brian Ford Sullivan. He's done five Arrow episodes, Taken, which is upcoming. So Ollie has a very particular set of skills, I'm sure we'll find. This one, AWOL, Legends of Yesterday, Haunted, and This Is Your Sword. He also wrote the Vixen series. And again, that's it. That's his only writing credits. Like, we've got, I don't want to call them newbies because they've written a bunch of episodes, but this is their gig. They're Arrow writers, which is pretty awesome.
So what I've been noticing the last couple of weeks, both with Agent Carter, the show Flash, whatever, the cupboard's getting bare, right? There's so many shows out. There's so many comic book movies that the experts are getting pulled in a gazillion different directions, and they're having to bring in people that don't have as much experience, but might have all the knowledge. So it's great. We're finally seeing new talent breaking through with amazing episodes like this.
So, yeah, and you got to think with Andy Kreisberg and Mark and the rest of the Arrowverse crew doing the Legends of Tomorrow, doing Flash, Arrow, Supergirl, they were spreading that original Arrowverse writing pool and producing pool pretty thin. So it was just a matter of time. But hey, guys, don't worry, because next week we got the man Speedweed back as a writer. So.
Yes.
You know, Neil, I think you were gone for the particular podcast that we did. I noticed Speedweed's name in the credits for Haven, too. So I'm like, oh, Speedweed, I know him. That's so cool.
He's a man.
He is. So he's not just doing this stuff. He's doing other stuff as well.
All right. And that's it. That's the current episode, guys.
Well, that's the ins and the outs of the episode. But we actually have to talk about the episode, don't we, Chris?
I thought we were done. I was going to go sign off and go take a nap.
And go watch Legends of Tomorrow.
Go watch Legends of Tomorrow and Flash. I haven't seen either yet.
Okay, qualifier.
Oracle, I think we're done.
Yeah. The qualifier for this podcast, we're not going to talk about the episode this week. We might later on talk about some non-spoilerish stuff of the episode last week. So since we all have seen that, at least on the podcast, but we don't want to spoil it for our live audience that we have here.
Totally.
Yeah, everyone dies.
Everybody always dies. It's a fact of life. Nobody's immortal unless you're Jack Harkness. So, Chris, what do you got?
What do I got? Guys, it felt like a filler episode. It was a decent filler episode, but it was kind of filler.
What do you mean? You had two Felicities. There can be no wrong in this episode.
I could hear Jay and SP in the back of my mind when Goth Felicity showed up, and all I heard was the Homer Simpson drooling sound from The Simpsons.
To be clear, I am not a fan of the Goth Felicity. I know Jay is, though, so Jay must have been drooling.
I figured you were, because it just meant two Felicities.
Exactly. It's the two Felicities. I'm not a fan of the Goth, but I am a fan of the two Felicities, so that was awesome.
We have to have her have a multiple personality disorder and do the whole Orphan Black thing. We need four Felicities, or maybe five Felicities.
You know, after seeing her in this, I think she would be good in that sort of role. Wow. My wheels are turning. I need to find funding for a series after Arrow cuts down to get Emily Bett on as an Orphan Black sort of. Ooh, I'm thinking hard.
Well, you just got to start writing fanfic, SP. You'll be good to go then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's in the miles of amounts of free time that I have. That's great.
Well, so what you do is you write the script for us and we'll find people to reenact your Arrow fanfics on the Starling Tribune. We're here to help.
That's Ouch. A great idea. All right. So this summer, we're going to do a reenactment of a fanfic that I write. Oh, wow. This is good.
Wow.
It's called The Two Felicities and SP, written by Stargate Pioneer, starring Stargate Pioneer.
Just remember, paybacks are not fun from Stargate Pioneer. All right, Neil.
What do you think the overall theme for this episode was? You know, we've been talking about that the last couple of casts. Do you think there was an overriding concept or theme they were trying to communicate this week?
Yes, that the Suicide Squad in the movies are, that's king, and who cares about Arrow anymore? That's exactly what happened.
Yeah, this was a giant middle finger, it felt like, from Big DC. I was like, oh, man. Because as they all get captured, I'm sitting there like, oh, Waller's going to die, isn't she? And I was like, this is how you wipe out all of Argus and stuff like that, and you make her go away. And I went, you know, I'm bummed.
One to the head. So if she's a zombie, she's dead. So she took one to the head. If she's a vampire, it was probably a silver bullet. She's dead. And if she's just a normal person, well, she's dead. So guess what? The wall ain't coming back.
Well, and the Lazarus pit's gone too, so we can't bring her back.
No. Dead is dead here. It's like a Sitwell sort of thing. It's dead. She's gone.
Sitwell lives. Hashtag Sitwell lives.
I believe that personally, but nobody else does.
I was going to say, it was a very sudden headshot that I Strive to Thrive was bringing up. It kind of surprised me. I wasn't expecting it to be that quick. I expected her death scene to be a little more drawn out versus be like, psh, bang, and just pay no attention after that. I was like, that's really cold.
Yes. But this series is really good for the cold death scenes. They don't dwell over them. When Ollie's mom got the sword, it was like, all right, and she's done.
Same with Robert Queen when he did himself in. It was just like, bang, done. I was like, whoa.
You know what? I think the writer's room calls up George R.R. Martin and says, hey, listen, any hints, any suggestions? We got to thin the crew out here a tiny bit.
Okay, so your question, though, it still stands. What's the overall theme for this episode? Now, we often take a look at the name of the episode, AWOL, and there was one line of dialogue in the episode, and they're talking about 3 Ks of product going AWOL, and that is where the AWOL comes from. So it really wasn't a I didn't stretch that into the theme at all. Did you guys?
No. You know, part of me thought, hey, the theme was we just need a Diggle and Felicity episode. But in all honesty, I think it was about letting go of your past. Both Diggle had to let go of his past, of holding things against his brother, learn to trust him, realize they weren't who they were before, and all their preconceptions were gone. And Felicity also had to let go of her past. That was how she was able to really transition into Overwatch by the end of the episode and pull their bacon out of the fire for Team Arrow. So that's probably what I'm going to go with.
And it was a part of Felicity accepting her current limitation right now, too. She finally came to grips with the fact that, okay, this is how I am for now. And it was also partly Andy Diggle coming to accept this is my life now, sort of. My brother sort of trusts me again, which is we know is going to come to bite him in the butt. Because, let's be honest, he was Damian Dark's goon. This can't end well.
No. No, I've got thoughts on Andy and Felicity in this episode, which really weren't explored at all during the episode, but I'm keeping open in my mind. So we can get to that later. But letting go of your past, I think there's a little bit of that. Now, the mayoral campaign didn't come through at all in this episode, aside from the fact that Felicity had to go to the office in order to get down to the lair or the quiver or the arrow cave or whatever you want to call it to take the elevator down. And I think they deliberately did that, by the way, at the beginning of the season, showed us the elevator from the very first episode so that we know that Felicity can get up and down in it.
She needs ramps, though.
Well, it's doable. You know, a couple of 2x6s, and, you know, it's fine.
They'll make something flashy and shiny. Call Cisco. He'll make something cool.
That's true. He will. Like, Jets on the wheelchair. That'd be cool.
Yeah. They did it for R2-D2. Why can't Felicity have it?
Exactly.
And SP, you got to stop calling her Oracle, my friend. She's got a name. She's Overwatch.
She is.
We're all going to slip up. You know that.
I know. I know. Well, Overwatch it is. I might just call her Hot Wheels, though. That was pretty cool.
It's because Oracle was already taken, guys. It's an acknowledgement that Batman exists in this world. That's all I'm taking away from it right now.
A version.
That was an awesome line.
Conspiracy theory.
It was. So we saw some... We talk about fight scenes in Arrow because Arrow is a well-choreographed fight show. And that's its forte. Okay, so fight scenes and Salmon Ladder and shirtless scenes. That's what this show is all. It's CW, so, you know, that's what it's all about, right? So we have some fighting throughout the episode. What'd you guys think?
I actually caught myself, I think, when it was the fight in the Argus facility, when it was Andy, John, Layla, and Ollie going at it. I'm like, this is well done. Again, it's an enclosed space. There were some great camera angles. You saw some different fighting styles. And I love the focus on Diggle because you can see, we get a lot of this technical martial arts throughout the series. But when Diggle is laying the smackdown, it's just brawling. And it was fun to see him take those two guys out when he came out of the air ducts. That was great.
It makes me think of like the straight up brawlers you got in professional wrestling that just sit there and punch people in the face. They'll take shots and they just shake it off and they're bigger and they're stronger. And that suits him because David Ramsey is a big dude and he is Jack.
He's been working out for a few years now to try to keep up with Stephen Amell, and he's getting there. I mean, he wasn't bad to begin with, but Stephen Amell had him beat by a long shot.
I think he's got
shot.
Bigger guns than Stephen Amell.
That's it. They've got totally different physiques now. That David Ramsey has just gotten big. He's massive. He's not going to do the parkour. He's probably not going to do the salmon ladder because it's a different strength to body mass ratio that you need for that. But man, he's ripped.
So one of the fight scenes that I don't think you would consider a fight scene, but I took a look at is when Oliver was smacking the crap out of Laurel's sparring gloves. I mean, that was not choreographed. I mean, that was Oliver doing his thing. And even that showed off how well the show is.
They plot out everything when it comes to the fights. Even the little things, I think, sometimes are all completely plotted out. Just like the little glances you're going to give in the middle of a fight. And it's always well done, man. The only thing that comes close to beating it might be Daredevil, and that's because they have a lot more time to put towards their fight scenes.
I did like when Oliver rescued Spartan. You know, he got caught behind the lines and everything, and you thought, okay, here it goes. And, you know, I thought it was kind of odd. Instead of dropping his gun, he reholstered it.
That looked kind of weird. You wouldn't really do that.
No, they wouldn't let you. They would drop you by, you know, moving your gun and everything. But then Oliver just used one of the explosive arrows and comes through the wall and then takes out everybody. It was like, yeah, Ollie, woohoo!
But what took him so long? I mean, honestly, as soon as that shut and she's like, I can't open it, you should be like, okay, explosive arrow, go.
Honestly, he was probably thinking that maybe Spartan was going to be able to get out of it himself. And when he finally saw that, no, this isn't the case, he came in. Remember.
How did he see it? He's in a locked cargo container.
I don't know. He could feel it. He is the Green Arrow.
He has the Force. The Force is strong with Oliver.
And suddenly the gunshots stop outside because you're getting the pop.
That's true.
Of Diggle's gun, regardless of what. And then suddenly he's like, it's silent. And you can still hear through a cargo container. He probably heard, put your weapon down, etc. He's like, okay, got to time this. Sounds like there's a lull. I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt, but I'm allowed to because I'm a big fan.
Well, so how do you think Ollie did in the episode, Chris?
He didn't get featured a lot. I mean, most of it is Oliver coming to grips with his own guilt over what happened to Felicity. And I think they mostly resolved that, but it's Oliver Queen, so he's always going to feel guilty about something. I mean, Stephen Amell, he got his chances to do stuff in there. And I honestly think the heartfelt conversations as he's having with Felicity to try and figure out what's wrong and help her, they were well done. They're powerful. He didn't get a ton of screen time, but he came across very well. I mean, and you feel for Oliver and you feel for how he feels about Felicity.
Man, what he said.
I rambled. Sorry, guys.
No, Chris, you nailed it. Stephen Amell knew that the focus of this episode wasn't on him. He was supposed to express the right emotions to allow you to focus on Diggle and Felicity. And I think the mark of a good star in a show like this knows that they don't have to be the center of the or the focus of attention, the center of the show, and they can bring the right kind of emotion. Props to Stephen Amell.
It's nice to see when the star can step back like that, because there's been other shows out there where the supposed lead guy no longer becomes the focus, and then they just kind of leave, and they're kind of crappy about it on their way out. Go back to the early seasons of The West Wing, for instance.
The one scene that really drew me in on Oliver was when Felicity was talking to Oliver and herself, her hallucination, all at the same time. And they must have had a stand-in back there or something, because she was just doing it so much on point. And then she's like, "You just leave me alone," or whatever. He's like, okay. And that's when he goes off to spar with Laurel. So I think that scene was probably his best scene of the episode, to me at least.
Well, and the talking to Laurel as he's working out the problem, I mean, that worked well too. It's a different kind of acting, because it's Oliver processes things by being physical and working them out that way. So he took you through Oliver's journey of kind of processing his own guilt and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I know we're going to talk about Laurel a bit later, but she actually had some really good nuggets of information, and I think she did a good job of active listening, of being a sparring partner, and she was reasonable. She wasn't overly emotional. She didn't do anything erratic. I actually liked her in this episode. So the real question is, Chris, did you like her in this episode?
I'm much more accepting of Laurel in small doses, and this was the adequate dosage of Laurel, and she did not say anything that made me go, what the hell? As that character tends to do. So I was okay with her here. She did her part as a supporting character.
I think they're doing a good job still rebounding from season 2 on Laurel. And eventually, if they want to stick to the canon, which I don't know if they will at this point or not, based on especially this episode where they had to kill off Waller, I think that if they want to stick to it, they still have to bring those two together at some point in time. They don't have to. It's just if they follow the canon, will they have to? So I honestly don't know whether or not that's going to happen, but they have set her on a path where she is starting to be competent. She's starting to be sympathetic. She's starting to have a rapport again with Oliver. And yes, there's still this tension between the two, because Oliver is still mad at Laurel for bringing back Speedy, but you kind of see some of that forgiveness starting to happen, some of that rapport coming back.
You mean Sarah, right?
Yes, Sarah, I'm sorry.
Just want to make sure, because of the Speedy journey over there and things like that. But the character works, but the problem is the way that character's been set up. I know they're going to make her do something either completely dumb or totally selfish later on that just frustrates me again. Now, I hope I'm wrong. I hope they continue rehabilitating the character. In fact, I didn't even mind her appearance in Legends of Tomorrow.
This was the first episode in a long time where I actually thought, you know what? They could go down the canon route. If for some reason something happens, I didn't mind her. And I was accepting of that. I'm like, all right, these two are starting to get back to a normal relationship, not this weird thing they've had before. So it'll be a journey, but hopefully this series is on long enough that we get to see that journey if that's what's in store for us.
Right. So what do you guys think of the flashbacks? They were all Diggle and Andy. They were all back in the stand. What did you guys think of them, Neil?
It was interesting. I was looking at the vegetation and going, that seems like more what you'd find around Vancouver, but, you know, I'll give them that.
They went from a quarry scene to a, you know, Vancouverish forest scene all at once. I'm like, whatever. I'll just roll with it.
Yeah, there were no giant redwoods or cedars, so it wasn't as bad as it could have been. Yeah, that pulled me out of it a bit, but listen, I think understanding Diggle's background and Diggle and Andy's background was a big part of this. It almost makes me think, Chris, what you said at the beginning about this being a filler in a background episode. I prefer to think of it as background and color and character depth than filler. Tomato, tomato. But I enjoyed them. They weren't Ollie on the Island series or season one flashbacks, but they were solid for what they needed to accomplish.
Well, let me caveat my filler statement. I don't necessarily mean filler in a bad way. It's stuff setting up future things. I guess I should rephrase and say it's more of a setup episode for everything else going forward.
They did connect it, though. They connected Andy with the Baron at the very end, which was very interesting to me. So I don't know if we're going to see Andy in any more flashbacks or not. We could and we might not. I don't know. But we did get that connection, which will bring us back to where we left off on the island next week, I'm sure.
Right. Well, in this flashback, these flashbacks also set up how Andy could be such a badass. He's been with, what, three paramilitary organizations now and been relatively successful with them. I mean, you see him be fairly badass in the desert, and his skills have only gotten better as life went on.
Yeah, one could think of it as badass. I rather think of it as total stupidity. You don't jump out in front of a moving truck with an RPG aimed at you.
Okay. So let me rephrase. It's TV badass.
Oh, okay.
Not real life badass.
Fair enough.
Yeah. And, you know, I think one of our listeners in the live chat, I Strive to Thrive, said that it's really about setting the tone between the Diggle Bros. And we saw more of that. I was re-listening to last week's episode, SP, when you were talking about how, or maybe it was Chris, when you said you wish that we had gotten the drug dealing background and the army was a way to rehab Andy before we got all this story. I think they're backfilling that story and that relationship. I totally agree with I Strive to Thrive in the chat.
They have made me care about Andy other than just the fact he's a dude locked up in the basement that Johnny beats up on.
All right, I'm going to go there right now on Andy. He is totally a plant, still a plant, just like intern dude. Damien has this group surrounded, and Andy is part of it. He's been a plant since the beginning. He knew the connection to Spartan, Damien Dark did, and he planted Andy in there so that at the end, when it comes time, he's going to pull a trigger, and it's going to be a total fifth column reaction from inside Team Arrow. That's what's going
to
happen.
I agree with you to a point, but I still don't think Damien knows who any of Team Arrow is. They have made it pretty clear that he just seems to hint at things but doesn't really know, because honestly, if he knew that Laurel was the Black Canary, he would have held that over Captain Lance's head at one point in time. If he knew who the Oliver Queen was, the Green Arrow, he'd be screwing with him on both fronts instead of just being like, I'm very mad at you because you don't want to work with me to not clean up Starling Harbor.
Yeah.
See, he might not know, but his wife, Reve, knows because she watches the CW and she knows that Stephen Amell plays Oliver Queen and is the Arrow. I mean, because all women, it's a CW show. Women love it. So yeah, of course she knows. Reve knows. And therefore, she has planted Andy and she has planted intern dude.
No, I'm willing to put a nickel on that one, SP. I'm saying that he's not a plant, that he's a tier one goon. You know, you've got the disposable goons that get thrown into power transformers. Then you've got the tier one goons that you see. They're uber goons. So above tier one, you've got uber goon. Trust me, there's a goon hierarchy here. The uber goon is the goon that doesn't wear a mask, that always stands behind the big bad. But
it's
tier
Bob
one
the goon
goons
from
are
from 89 Batman.
You see the tier one goon repeatedly. He is a tier one goon. The Taskmaster in Marvel would charge premium for this goon. Trust me.
So where do you have to go to get to the goon level of the Monarch? Get in the blue Nissan Stanza. What tier level is that? Tell me.
I'd say that's bordering on Uber Goon.
Okay.
Definitely.
I like it.
All right. Of course, we're referring to the Venture Brothers. I'm sorry, I can't even say it with a straight face anymore. 23, minion number 23, whatever his name was. Okay.
So we've talked a lot about Felicity this episode, but I think we were all waiting. I, for one, thought they were going to go with Oracle. I was, and somebody, I think Steven may have mentioned this in the chat earlier, that not going with Oracle was a way of screwing with us. But Overwatch, I'm down with Overwatch. I can handle that.
Chris?
It works. I mean, I didn't think we'd actually get Oracle. I wanted something like Firewall or something like that that was more tech-related. But I can live with Overwatch. I understand why they did it. We'll get to it later in the show.
So I'm going to go straight to the hallucinations. When I first saw it, I thought, this is definitely Damien Dark Magic. He is doing this for sure. And I was sure that it wasn't going to end this episode, but I think it was just a drug-induced thing. I think that's all it was. What do you guys think?
Yeah.
I'm going with the drugs.
They made a point of showing her taking the pills, probably more than she was supposed to by accident or something like that, because after Stephen Amell was basically telling her, here's your pills, here's what you're supposed to take.
Good thing Laurel didn't get near him. Huh?
Yeah, I know. Huh? Right?
Yeah. But she's on it at the end. She gets into it. She's back in the saddle, so to speak, and she's doing what she's doing, and she is determined to get Damien. I mean, that is her sole purpose in life right now. And it's just not going to end well for him, as we've already seen, because we've seen the flash forwards for 4 months from now.
Doesn't it make you feel a little bad when you see these awesome moments between Oliver and Felicity now, and you're like, ah, these kids are really going to work out. And then you're like, oh, no, wait, I know they're not going to. Damn.
I know.
Maybe not this series. Come on, listen. Or this season. Relationships go through their ups and downs, and maybe they'll end up after that one. She puts the ring back on. That's the great thing. These things aren't, you know, it's not a one-way switch. It can go either way.
Sure.
She burns the photo of herself. So, okay, got a question for you. You're a queen of tech, right? And you have a photo. You know that's got to have been scanned in, right? So it's all symbolic, the burning of the picture.
Well, that picture they had is from one of the promotional photos from that episode where Goth Felicity showed up, too. I was like, wait a minute, I remember seeing that and sending it to Jay. Then I felt a little creepy because I recognized that that's what I did that from.
Well, and you know, when I saw that, I think I may have to recant. If you're a Blackadder, I recant my Catholicism. But I think that may have been the shot that we saw in the mid-season preview trailer, and it may not have been Huntress because I saw the jewelry on the chest,
yeah,
the long black coat, the black hair. We might not get Huntress. It was a snapshot of Goth Felicity. And I was like, oh, that sucks.
Bummer. And no, Steve's in the chat and he said he wanted Smoke Screen for Felicity's codename. Nope. Not going to happen.
And we had some people say they wanted Proxy, and we had some more votes in the chat for Firewall. So, Chris, you should be a writer. We all know that.
Well, someone's been saying it for a couple weeks in the chat room. I can't remember who it was, but someone has. And I was like, that's a good idea. So I wish I could take credit.
Props to Cajun Sean. He will take all the credit for Firewall. And yes, sir, that is a great superhero name. You know, you and Cisco coming up with all the superhero names. I'll give it to you.
There you go. So talking about names in the comics, Shadowspire made its appearance. And I think it's a one and done, pretty much. I don't think we're going to get Shadowspire again, unless it's associated with Baron Rider.
So they seem to indicate that Shadowspire was a fairly small group of soldiers, and it seems like most of them probably got captured when they tried to take out Argus.
Or dead.
Yeah, or dead. Captured slash dead, let me rephrase.
All right, so guys, last week we did the hero of the, or the villain of the week scale, with 1 being Moist and 10 being Deathstroke. So as evil organizations go, if 1 is Cobra from the G.I. Joe cartoon that could never get anything right, and 10, let's call it the League of Assassins, you know, total badasses. Shadowspire, where do we put them? Let's start with SP this week.
Yeah. See, on the scale, I'd go with, like, the Roadrunner villain as number one, right? Rather than Cobra. Because Cobra's got guns, they've got explosives and stuff like that.
Yeah, but they never kill anyone.
You could be collateral damage, right? And I guess A-Team would be in there, too, because, you know, spray bullets everywhere and, you know, nothing gets actually killed.
But it's got Mr. T. It doesn't matter. That automatically puts them up to at least level 5 for the A-team, because Mr. T is that bad.
Fool!
He's a bad man, fool.
These are evil organizations. A-team got it done without actually killing anybody. But SP, I'm not letting you off the hook. On your scale of 1 to 5, with 1 being Wile E. Coyote.
1 to 10. Well, Wile E. Coyote.
Sorry, 1 to 10. Yeah.
And 10 being, I don't know. We'd have to go worse than the League of Assassins. See, I'm not bought off on the League of Assassins, but okay, it's a DC show. We'll keep it as 10 as League of Assassins for the purpose of the show and for the kids at home. All right. I think Ben Browder's little circle of mercenaries was more badass than this. So I would go with, and that wasn't all that impressive either. So I will go with 3.
Wow.
I was going to say 3 also, but ooh, now I feel like I have to stick to my guns and be the low-ranking guy. I'm going to go 2. I'm going to price is right you and go under a little bit. I mean, these guys are lame. Let's be honest. The best thing they did was steal some opium in Afghanistan and then coast on that from that point forward. I mean, Oliver hands them their asses. The best thing they did was come up with a smart plan of how to take Argus, and that was just because the writers wanted to kill off Amanda Waller, because Big DC said, kill her.
Yeah, they do kill the wall, okay? Lots of people have tried. They actually did it, but
yeah, No. That wasn't Shadow Spire that killed the wall. That was DC Comics saying, you'll kill the wall.
Well, my point is they all end up dead right afterwards, or captured, or whatever. So, nobody escaped. They weren't effective whatsoever.
But guys, they took out 3 Argus agents. They popped one's eyeball out. They stormed the Argus, like, main headquarters. They took out the leader of Argus. How can you give them less than 5? 5 should be minimally effective, like meets objectives.
Because they're super lame.
They weren't effective against Team Arrow. I mean, nobody got shanked. Nobody got tied up. Nobody got captured, right, on Team Arrow?
They didn't even draw blood on Team Arrow.
Yeah.
Hang on. They did beat Diggle up. Now, granted, he probably let himself get caught. But, okay, I'm giving him a 6. I'm giving him a 6.
You're
2
wrong.
3s. We'll average that out to what, a 4.5? So there's.
I strive to thrive in the chat said hashtag nobody got shanked.
That's like better than Scary McBurn face.
I'll take writing credit for that. Hashtag nobody gets shanked. Scary McBurn face, which he's still out there, right? Scary McBurn face might come back. You never know.
Quality podcasting from the Sterling Tribune.
Scary McBurn face is more badass than Shadow Spire, and he was super lame also.
Well, he went through the whole metamorphosis of getting burned and then automatically being crazy and a badass, whatever. Shadow Spire is just a bunch of thugs from the desert, really. I mean, anyway.
All right. So listen, we've talked about one of the two organizations. Let's talk about Argus. And for any of the audio listeners, you can't see it, but in memorial, I am wearing my Argus t-shirt. And as Chris said in the pre-show, I'm probably never going to see Argus again. So that was a great purchase on my part.
Well, you will see it in the movie. So you could take it to the movie. You're just not going to see it in Arrow.
So I don't know whether you'll see it again or not. I was being kind of facetious when I said it. It almost seems like they're setting Layla up to be the new lead of Argus in some kind and have that conflict.
Oh, no. She's at home. She's at home with Sarah.
She was at the end of this episode.
Yeah. No, I think this was, we're going to kill off Waller. We're going to get rid of Argus because that is now done. And the IP of Suicide Squad we'll take it from there. And I believe we're going to see Argus in future iterations of DC Justice League movies as well. It's just going to happen. So they took it off the board completely.
Lame.
I, for one, will miss Argus. I enjoyed it. Waller had grown on me. So as a fan of Justice League Unlimited, I wanted a different portrayal of Waller when she first came out. I think like many of the internet, I had my internet rage on. I'm like, well, that's not Brick Wall. Brick Wall isn't this. But to tell you the truth, this iteration of Amanda Waller grew on me, and I'm going to miss her.
So Cynthia can join, what's his name that played Deadshot? Who played Floyd?
I don't remember the actor's name. Floyd, yeah. Lawton was the character.
You're right, right, right.
That's right.
But so Cynthia can join whoever the actor was that played Deadshot, or Floyd Lawton, or whatever, in cons, and we can be amused by them for years to come, because you know that the actors in the movie aren't going to be doing that stuff.
So I Strive to Thrive brought up something I was about to also. He said, I wonder if we'll still see Argus and Oliver's flashbacks. I was about to say, you know, we could still get Waller in some flashbacks potentially, because this whole thing on the island is set up by Argus putting him there. So maybe something. Who knows?
This is a complete break. We're not going to see it again.
Wow. All right. Well, hey, listen, let's reflect back on this when we've seen a few more episodes. And I've got to say, listen, you talk about Floyd Lawton and Amanda Waller at least getting capped on screen. Then you've got, if you've read the comics, Arrow Season 2.5, Bronze Tiger, because it's canon, gets taken out in the comic.
Yes, it's true. Yeah.
He doesn't even get the benefit of an on-screen kill.
Yeah, that was so one of the things wow. that we were going to talk about when we talked about the Arrow 2.5 comic. There's other stuff that we haven't talked about yet, but in an off week, we'll go over that. All right, let's move on from Shadowspire and the Waller. It was a fun part of the show. It really was. We have now transitioned to the post-DC movie Arrow completely, unfortunately.
Lame.
I know. All right, so you brought up Layla. I don't think Argus is coming back, but you think Layla is going to run Argus, Neil?
No. To tell you the truth, when you have an organization that is compromised, like Argus seems to have been, because remember the agents at the beginning said, Argus is compromised. We don't know what's going on inside. They obviously, Shadow Spire, if they were as inept as you said, must have at least had one person inside to be able to pull off what they did as effectively as they did. The question is, are the higher-ups going to say we need a new organization, one that perhaps isn't quite as ruthless, and one that Layla gets to put her stamp on? And there are a lot of other organizations within the DC broader comic universe. So why not Cadmus? Why not some of these other organizations? I'd like to see her recruited to bring something else, something that actually works more in tandem with the superpowered vigilantes out there. Some, like an organization that could call upon Team Flash or call upon Team Arrow if they need some help. Kind of like what we're seeing in Supergirl with the Department of Extraordinary Affairs or Extra Normal Affairs. That would be cool, I think.
If you want to go the Marvel route, it'd be like Henry Peter Gyrich, who was the government liaison between the X-Men and the government for doing stuff. That could be interesting, but they haven't really made much talk of any of the governments acknowledging superheroes or anything. I mean, they're kind of known by the cities, but you don't know anything on the national scale about how heroes are represented.
The national city scale?
Yes, quite possibly that. I mean, some people will dog on Smallville. They actually sort of got into the impact of heroes on the entire world in Smallville and political implications, because they basically had a superhuman registration act, not quite called that in Smallville, but they sort of touched on that. And I'd kind of like to see that start to come up as we get more and more heroes in the Flaro universe. The impact outside of these smaller cities. What's the impact overall?
All right, guys, I know who's in the grave. We've been talking about it every week. I know who's in the grave. Are you ready? You ready
for
this?
Let's hear it.
It's Goth Felicity.
I was going to say Waller, so yours is better.
Yeah, I don't see them all tearing up. Yeah, we have to take him out. Let's blame Damian Dark for Waller's death. No, so they didn't really deal with it this week. So did anyone really change their mind from last week?
No.
Well, I mean, Layla was in the mix just because we saw the gun to her head in the promo. But I think, I don't know. I mean, if she does come back, if she does leak Argus, I could see that happening. But I'm thinking Argus is totally gone. So I'm thinking it's more like Quentin, Mama Smoke, Thea, Roy, somebody that's close to them. I mean, like really close.
New conspiracy theory. I got one.
Yeah.
Make all the fanboys angry. It's John Constantine.
Oh my.
You're making your co-hosts angry.
I wasn't serious.
Yeah, Naki's going to come to your house and beat you up for that. You know that, right?
Oh, come on. Could you see him sort of doing it, though? They keep sticking to their line. If it's a one-off appearance, if you really want to enforce that, Nick, it's not going to happen. You killed John Constantine.
They're sitting on a gold mine. They're going to bring him back.
They thought they were sitting on a gold mine when the series first came out, though.
Especially when they kill off Felicity. They're going to need to bring back Constantine.
Any show that you put on at 9 o'clock on a Friday, you do not think you're sitting on a gold mine on. I'm sorry.
I was thinking it's Thursday night, 9 o'clock on Thursday night. That's Friends. I mean, that is the gold mine, but no, we're podcasting on Thursday night. The show is on Wednesday night. Yeah.
That was the gold mine 10, 15 years ago when Friends was on.
I know. Well, Wednesday night historically, and I won't get into why, but historically has been a down night in network shows because they know it was a drop in ratings. Now, that's not the case anymore, but historically, Wednesday night was never a powerhouse night for reasons why. There was a whole sector of people that had something to do that night, and it's just, I just don't want to get into it, but there was a reason. So that's basically it for this episode, unless, did you guys have anything else? This is all I can remember.
John Constantine's dead.
Amanda Waller, we hardly knew ya.
Here, here. The wall.
To the wall.
One for our homies. To the wall.
All right, so what do you got for next week, Neil? Did you find out what more about the episode aside from the promo we saw?
Yeah, so I think they were teasing that we get the calculator next week.
Mm-hmm.
Very excited. So episode 12, Unchanged, air date Wednesday, February 3rd. The team faces off against a formidable villain. Ooh, so I can't wait for our villain rating scale. Nicknamed the Calculator, guest star Tom Amandes. Meanwhile, Nyssa comes back. Yay, Nyssa. So Katrina Law makes her return to the show for this for 2016. Nyssa makes her move, and Roy Harper returns to Star City. A director, Kevin Flair, director, we talked about this earlier, Speedweed, or writer Speedweed, and Beth Schwartz.
So question for you. We talked about this way back last fall. The Calculator, is it going to be Felicity's dad?
They keep hinting at it, but I think they're just screwing with us again.
Could be.
I think he's going to be a recurring villain for a couple of episodes, and it's going to come out later. I think you might see Felicity with like a weird look on her face this episode, and then figure it out in an episode or two. That's just my thought, not based on any articles or news.
All right. So, are we ready to go on to the Easter eggs? Because we do that every week. I love these.
I think we gotta.
Okay. So what do we got here, Neil?
Well, the first Easter egg, and it's not really an Easter egg, but let's, you know, we got from the comics Amanda Waller, and we've talked about this was our goodbye to the wall. We've seen her in Smallville. We've seen her in Justice League Unlimited. We've seen her in Batman, the animated series. We will see her again coming up in the Suicide Squad series. It was too soon for this iteration of Amanda Waller, but a job well done for the actor who played her.
Ooh, this next one is interesting. I didn't know this, Chris.
Oh, Big Belly Burger coming back?
Oh, no. I was talking about Hot Wheels, but Big Belly Burger's coming back?
Come back.
It did. Well, no. So we got Big Belly Burger, but we didn't get the restaurant. I mean, they've been right. Going to Big Belly Burger in Flash for the entire time. They even name checked it this week, too.
We finally got it back in Arrow. It's been a while since we've had it in Arrow, though.
Well,
yep.
Yeah, okay, fine. Anyway, Hot Wheels. Felicity jokes that her name could be Hot Wheels, but it's not. And so Hot Wheels is a brand of toy car. So I guess that's it.
Yeah,
pretty much.
As far as the comicbook.com article goes, I'm not sure that was an Easter egg. It was a reference to a toy brand, but yeah, we'll give that to him. We've talked about the return of Goth Felicity. I'm not sure that's an Easter egg, but the one that really got me was Shadow Spire. I think we didn't know the organization that was going to be associated with Baron Von Reiter. Shadow Spire has a long history in the DC universe, linked into both the Shadow Cabinet from Milestone Comics. Shadow Spire battled Deathstroke. So again, we've got linkages to past seasons. It was good to get Shadow Spire and to see what they're going to do with them. And, you know, maybe I'm the outlier here, guys, but I don't think we've seen the last of Shadow Spire. I think there were other soldiers. If Baron Von Reiter is connected to them, they might have different squads still lurking out there.
I think in the past, that could have been the case, but my assumption is whatever happens at the end of this season is going to decimate Baron Reiter's forces.
Still a half a season to go, my friend.
That's true. So next one, we had Lieutenant Joyner, our main antagonist with Shadow Spire. He's named for the writer who created Shadow Spire. That was Dr. Tom Joyner.
That's right.
Fanciness.
Joyner would use the concept in both Deathstroke and Damage, apparently.
And we got another reference to Cord Industries when they're looking at the trucks that had the rail guns. They were blue in color like the Blue Beetle, Tom Cord himself. We've seen Cord Industries referenced quite a bit in this series. And, you know, whenever we do, I nudge my wife while we're watching. I'm like, hey, look, Ted Cord, Cord Industries, Blue Beetle. Hey, isn't that cool? And she looks at me like, what are you talking about?
Okay, so the next one is interesting. I didn't know this either, that Guggenheim actually wrote a novel called Overwatch. Mm-hmm. So that's where it comes from.
Yep, very cool. It was cool to see him kind of sneak in that reference.
It's one of a number of popular suggestions that fans online had made. Of course, they made the decision a long time ago. I mean, they just didn't make it this week. The decision was made months ago when they were writing it.
And let's be honest, we all knew it wasn't actually going to be Oracle. We just wanted it to be.
Okay, fine. We wanted it to be, but we didn't know it was not going to be Oracle. It was a possibility.
Oh, come on. Look at what they're doing. They're killing off the Suicide Squad. They're killing off Amanda Waller so they can do those in the movies. You really think they're going to let them have Oracle?
Fair enough.
Well, speaking of Oracle, that is our next Easter egg. And as we've said in this podcast before, the Easter egg list started off as the Bat checklist. So we have the hacker in the wheelchair that comes straight out of the Bat checklist. We thought it was going to be Oracle, and sure enough, they do the fans a little bit of lip service. I got to think that the people in my office who are not comic book fans probably have no idea what that line was in reference to.
More than likely.
Yeah, we all get it. So that was for us.
It was for us to feel good about ourselves. I guess the final Easter egg we have, it's not really much of an Easter egg, more of a reference back to season two. As they're drinking the memorial toast, Amanda Waller, they're drinking all of those toasts, and Felicity goes, hey, remember that time she tried to take down the city with a drone strike? For those that don't remember, that's the end of season two.
And just to call back, yes, we started the back checklist in the podcast on episode two. The episode was Honor Thy Father, so it goes all the way back to season one, and it was created basically by Wing for our very own Starling Tribune podcast Easter egg. We got some news articles. We do these every week. It's pretty cool. If you don't want any spoilers, you might not want to listen as intently to the next few minutes. But anyway, Chris, what do we got in the news this week?
Well, I guess first coming up is Daigle might be getting a helmet upgrade.
Nice.
Ooh.
Probably in response to a lot of fans saying he looks like Magneto.
Or there's also the fact that there's no back on his helmet.
Or side.
That's what drives me crazy on that helmet is, hey, I'm protected from taking any stray bullet glances or anything to my face. But if I turn around, oh, I'm dead.
Identity concealment, gentlemen. Identity concealment, not concussion proof.
It's a great identity concealment device. As long as he doesn't turn around, they go, huh, okay.
Yeah. The second news story that we got actually broke earlier today, and I think both Chris and I took to the chat that we have going in the background for Starling Tribune. We're pretty excited about it. The news broke that in Legends of Tomorrow, we are getting Green Arrow 2046. He is going to have the classic Green Arrow Van Dyke goatee and one arm like classic Oliver Queen did in the Dark Knight Returns comic book. And Oliver Queen himself, Steve Nomel, took to the Facebook with a video to say, Facebook, I've just learned that we have announced that I'm coming back in Legends of Tomorrow with the goatee. So the lesson here, never say never.
Never say never. I will never wear it. No, it's not going to happen. Goatee is not going to. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Guess what, buddy?
Well, to be fair, he said never for Arrow. This is an Arrow.
Did he really say Arrow? Never
I
for
thought he
Arrow?
Said Arrow originally.
I think he just said never. It's not going to happen. Oh, okay.
He said our show could go on 14 seasons and a goatee will never happen. I hope that clears things up forever. So he's referencing Arrow. This is kind of a slight loophole. We can give him an out if we really want, because technically it's not his show that he's doing it for.
He's not giving himself an out, so no.
He's enjoying the publicity this makes. He loves social media and stuff.
I'm just trying to help out Captain Amell here. That's all.
Captain.
Well, speaking of Captain Amell, you know, that's a nickname that he's gotten for captaining a whole bunch of online fundraisers on Represent. You know, I know that I've gone out and I've bought his Sincerity t-shirt, his Team Amell t-shirt. He does a lot of public service stuff, especially with the F Cancer charity, and he has teamed up again, this time with, I think it's Clash of Clans and his frenemy from the WWE Stardust to do a cancer fundraiser on Represent, a new series of t-shirts linked into their Clash of Clans clan called the Nikki Clan. So we've got the links in the show notes, guys. If you're interested in supporting both Steven and Stardust from the WWE and another fundraiser for a great cancer cause, go and pick up the t-shirt. It's a great graphic design. Steven Amell has done a ton of this, and I just love that his heart is always in the right place.
It is.
So if I remember correctly, and I vaguely remember reading this today, Stardust has taken Steven Amell's Slammy as part of the ongoing feud between them. I guess I had seen something to the effect of they're going to team up and do something with the Slammy also for raising money for a specific cancer patient that is a fan of the WWE, and I cannot find the article to save my life right now, but I remember reading it earlier.
I didn't read it, so I don't know. There's another article, which I saw earlier in the week, about Behrman talking about changes with Ra's al Ghul.
Yeah, so he came out in an interview and said there's big changes ahead. He was quite cryptic about it, but he said the relationship with Team Arrow is going to shift. And I think because we have Nyssa making her big move next week, that may happen sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there's the whole thing that he brought back the big villain for Legends of Tomorrow. It's all on him. He's responsible for the destruction of the world.
Nobody knows that, though, right now.
No, they might piece it together.
I'm sure they will. He'll gloat about it or something.
Yeah, Ra's had his reasons.
Whatever they were.
They were delicious.
So there was a couple of characters in the show, the actors, that actually gave interviews and introspectives as they do every week. That's great. Well, David Ramsey, who plays Spartan, aka John Diggle in the show, talked about the impact of Waller's death. We'll put that article in the show notes. And also Katie Cassidy, who plays Laura Lance, also talked about Laurel's future and also who's in the grave. So if you're interested...
What's in the box?
Yeah.
What's in the box?
If you're interested in hearing what these two have to say, go check out the stories in the show notes. So this week we had a great comic that was released, right? Black Canary number 7?
Yep. There were no Green Arrow comics released either digitally or physical this year, but if you're a fan of the show this year, this week, pardon me. Wow. But Black Canary number 7 came out, and it kind of wraps up the first arc post-convergence. It's different. I've taken a look at the art in issue number 7. It's fantastic. So if you're curious to see what Black Canary is up to post-convergence, check it out.
Absolutely. So we get feedback every week, and in this particular week, we got another voicemail from Adam. So you guys ready to listen to Black Adam's awesome feedback? Here we go.
Let's do it.
Hey guys, it's Adam calling in with feedback on tonight's episode of Arrow. And first off, I'm glad I have a DVR now because it took me about 5 tries to hear the lines after the Oracle reference because, I mean, everyone was saying, oh, they're going to call her Oracle. And yeah, DC wasn't going to let that happen. As for the rest of the episode, I do think the whole Andy situation is going to backfire, but at the same time, it was pretty sweet, especially with him meeting little Sarah. Shadow Spire tying in with Ryder was a bit surprising. I was thinking the boss might have ended up being Dark, but I suppose this way the flashbacks still tie into each other. And who knows, we might see Andy on the island, but I'd think that Oliver would have brought that up at some point. Unless Ryder was actually working for Hive and, well, failed with whatever was going on the island and so is no longer living. Rest of the episode, Felicity's conflict makes sense. I mean, that kind of injury would probably make anyone reevaluate their decisions and direction in life. And yeah, I forgot the fact that Felicity's platform with all the computers was on stairs. The elevator thing that she mentioned was what I meant when I was talking about the new cave being handicap accessible. Well, can't wait to hear what you guys think. Talk to you later. Bye.
I forgot about the platform too until she got down there. I was glad she mentioned it. So I was like, oh yeah. Huh.
Yeah, thanks As always, Adam, and I think we talked about most of what you were talking about during the episode. And so far, Neil, did you pick out anything specifically?
No, but I have to admit, Adam, I was in the exact same boat of rewinding, re-listening, mainly because I was laughing in a few points. So
me too.
Yes. That's the great thing about the show that I think a lot of us forget. You know, we focus on the action, we focus on the fight scenes, but the writers know how to interject humor and you know, not to nerd out. But this goes back to even Shakespeare's writing that humor makes the drama more dramatic and the sorrows more sorrowful. So if it was just a one-note show, I don't think we'd all enjoy it as much as we do. Thumbs up to the writers and props for bringing the humor when they do.
Absolutely.
Completely agree. But as we're wrapping things up, we do like to remind folks, we are part of a network of other awesome podcasts. It's the Gunna Geek Network. You can find out more about that by heading on over to GunnaGeekNetwork.com. All sorts of geeky podcasts, but this week, we kind of have to feature one in particular. If you're a Whovian, you might have had your world rocked this week, and if so, we encourage you to listen to episode 172 of Gallifrey Public Radio entitled Farewell, Mr. Moffat. This week, we try to process the official BBC announcement that not only marks the end of the Moffat showrunner era, but the start of his successor's tenure, broadcast plans for Series 10, and ripple effect that all those dropstones have on their ever-placid Whovian fan base. And I don't know if they talked about it in this episode or not. I'd also seen some articles come out where Capaldi had basically said, yeah, I'm done with Moffat also, probably. So lots of changes coming to the Doctor Who world. If you want to hear about what's coming on that and you're Whovian, go check out Gallifrey Public Radio over at GunnaGeekNetwork.com.
My biggest response to all this, because we have absolutely no control over it, right? My biggest response is it's a great time to go back and rewatch from the rebooted Who, all the way back from Doctor Number 9 on forward. If you need to go back and maybe you caught the series late and you haven't seen it all the way from Eccleston on, this is now a perfect time to go ahead and do that. So,
well, and side note, if you're a Netflix subscriber, you have until February 1st until they're no longer on Netflix. So,
oh, serious?
Hurry up and watch.
Good thing I've got the DVDs and Blu-rays. Yes, I do. I bought them on sale, by the way, last year when they were having a holiday deal during the holiday. And by last year, I mean 2014, not 2015. So I need to catch up with the last couple of series. Anyway,
it is coming off of Netflix, but don't be surprised if it comes back, because the last time it was supposed to go away, there was enough fanboy outrage and an uproar that it basically came back a month later. So if the fans react as strongly as they did before, BBC and Netflix might make a deal again.
We'll see.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
Well, no, Neil, actually, let me hold on a second. I read in the story that Canada is not affected. And Netflix Canada, yes, and Netflix UK still are going to have Doctor Who. It's Netflix US that is pulling the rights for Doctor Who. I forgot about that.
US subscribers, get your VPNs ready.
I'm just thinking that just about now you guys are regretting that whole War of Independence thing, right? We here in the Commonwealth still get to keep our Doctor Who.
I think there's ways around it. And like I said, I've got the DVDs anyway, so I don't care. Okay, so we talked about it before. We won't go into depth. Just a reminder, next week we'll be talking about Season 4, Episode 12 of Arrow called Unchained. And that's it. So basically, thank you very much, everybody who's been listening to us on Spreaker, the replay later on YouTube, and here on Blab. So thank you very much. And Chris, again, thank you very much for being our video editor. And unfortunately, I have some bad news for you after the podcast, so we'll get to that later. Okay.
Uh-oh.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd also like to thank all the live participants in our Blab chat. You guys really make a huge difference in the interaction that we get with our fan base. So big thanks to Cajun Sean, I Strive to Thrive, at Jenny Stiven, at Lindsay Badger, at StarSaber222, at Brian Tudor, and at Stephen John Drew, the president in chief of the Gunna Geek Network, for joining us this evening. And if you've jumped in and jumped out, thank you again. It makes all the difference in the world. You can join us weekly if you want to get your 2 cents in, Thursdays at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern on blab.im, and search for the Starling Tribune or Gunna Geek. And don't forget that after the show, we'll open up the fourth seat on the Blab interface for our live listeners to hang out and share their thoughts. You can watch the next live show on the Gunna Geek Networks over on geeks.live. The next live show I think you'll see over there is going to be all things good and nerdy, a Sunday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern.
Yeah, and don't forget that Tuesday nights we now have Game Life Balance. I almost said their former name, but GameLifeBalance.us. They are Cody and John. They talk about video games and balancing their want, their need, their hobby to play video games. So don't forget, we are on iTunes. Please go there if you haven't already. Give us a 5-star review, review us and rate us and all that stuff. We really appreciate that. And then like our page on Facebook. That's awesome. We will be posting more and more on that. And then the Gonna Geek YouTube channel is where you will see this replay later.
Don't forget, you can find all our contact information over on the Gonna Geek Network at GonnaGeekNetwork.com. Check out our forums and all the other great shows when you head over that way. And we really do like to get feedback from that, so head on over that way if you don't mind. If you want to share your thoughts, head on over to our Facebook page also. Send us a tweet or give us a call on the voicemail number at 612-888-CAVE. That's 612-888-2283.
And guys, I think that wraps it up for another episode of the Starling Tribune. It is always fun to hang out live on air with you guys. Any last words as we sign off and open up the Blab interface to our live listeners at the Chris Farrell.
Hashtag nobody got shanked.
At Stargate Pioneer.
Wall.
And I am at Neil Isn't Witty, signing off with hashtag bring back Argus. Oracle, I think we're done here.
This was the Starling Tribune. You can leave us feedback at GunnaGeek.com or check out our archive at StarlingTribune.com. Visit GunnaGeek.com for more podcasts. Music by Kevin MacLeod can be found at Incompetech.com. This podcast is not produced or maintained by the CW, Warner Brothers Television, CTV, or DC Comics. All characters, stories, and situations are the property of Time Warner. No infringement is intended. We will see you for the next episode of CW's Arrow.
I'm not going to change it to Overwatch. It's still going to be the Oracle.
It's tradition.
Just saying.
Yep. Got to keep tradition. It there.
Tradition. Adam,
hey,
welcome.
Adam, welcome. Yeah.
Are you guys hearing me?
We're hearing you.
Okay.
Loud and clear, sir.
All right. So just something I thought of after I sent in the feedback is in the flash forwards, they've never said who Oliver needs to kill. New theory. Diggle's in the grave, and it's Andy he wants to kill. Oliver wants to kill, not Dark.
I saw you say this in the chat, and it made me sad inside because I could see them screwing with us this way.
Yeah, it might. They'd have to do it in a very eloquent way because they built it up so much. They built it up from the beginning of the season, so I that would be a letdown. That would be a serious letdown. And Andy versus Zoom? I mean, remember the very first time we saw Flash and Arrow.
That's why Barry missed the funeral, was because he was dealing with Zoom, not...
I know, but, I mean, you're building up whoever the villain is on the level of Zoom, and Andy just isn't it. So, that's just my two cents on that theory. Could they do it? Yeah, they could. I could see it.
I could, too.
However, there's a rumor that Tom Welling may be actually playing Clark Kent and Superman in Supergirl.
It makes sense. He's aged enough to be an older Clark Kent now. I mean, Tom Welling is what, in his mid-30s?
Well, that rumor has been going on for the various shows since Arrow Season 1, so...
Also true.
I still think we're going to see the dad back in Supergirl in a flashback or something. I don't think he's gone forever.
Dean Cain?
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Although I did see him on another show where it was on the Hallmark Channel. Again, the Hallmark Channel is where you need to go to see all these people. Nyssa's on it. Superman's on it. I mean, come on, guys. The Hallmark Channel is where it's at.
Do you work for the Hallmark Channel?
No, I do not. But if they want to give me a job, I will take it. Okay, so we have some questions here. I Strive to Thrive said, well, we have that same scenario in Supergirl with the toy maker villain. Yes. And that was about the father figure that we were talking about with Felicity. So yeah, let's go through some of these questions, because with the banner on, with the logo on during the podcast, we can't bring it up. So I Strive to Thrive said, how can someone so powerful and mystical as Dark, and it's spelled wrong, but I'll give him a pass on that, not have any insight into Team Arrow? See, that's what I'm saying. I think they know more than they're letting on. So that's what I'm thinking. Thoughts? You two?
I still don't think he does. I think he may be powerful, but he's not all knowing. He's not omnipotent. So
he's not the Watcher.
He doesn't know what's going on. I mean, we've seen that he can crush him, but yeah, I don't think he knows.
Okay, then the question, who do you think is in the grave? I say Goth Felicity for now on, and
Waller.
Yeah. Waller and yeah. Then Neil.
No, I say Mama Smoke.
Mama Smoke. Still with that. Okay. And then the Stephen Wandrew said, how awesome is it that Diggle and Oliver's pasts are intertwined? Yeah, okay. Laugh it up, network owner.
Yuck it up, fuzzball. Sorry, Empire Strikes Back moment. Please don't sue me, Disney.
Okay.
You can't stop. That's not fair use.
That's right. It's not. John Williams, you're a mastermind. You're a genius. Okay, Stephen Wandrew also said, Chris, when are you starting that petition to give Laurel her own series?
I've already started it, and all it's going to be is literally she dies every 30 seconds, just in a new imaginative way.
It's going to be a Groundhog Day with Laurel dying.
No, it's more like an episode of Saw with lots of clones. That's just nasty.
And Stephen Wandrew, this is not a question. This is a setup. He said, which version of Felicity did you enjoy more? The answer is both. No, I like the older Felicity better than Goth, but I'll take them both. I mean,
if you have to twist his arm, he'll take them both.
I'll take
them.
Yeah.
That didn't sound creepy at all, did it?
Wow.
Emily Bett, we love you and you're awesome. And thank you for being the awesome person to play around with fans and stuff like that. That is awesome.
When's that restraining order up?
I don't know. You know what? I have not seen her in a panel for a while, so I got to look up a panel from her. She's got to be hilarious on a panel. Mr. I Strive to Thrive. How's it going, sir?
Guys? How's it going?
You know what? Well. I have to say that I match you now, sir.
Oh.
I've got the Shure SM7B as well.
Oh, yes. This is my precious.
Precious.
I just want to let you guys know, man, I just dropped a 5-star rating your way.
Oh,
I truly enjoy you guys so much, and I'm such a big fan of what DC's doing with Arrow and Flash and Supergirl, just everything. DC's Legends of Tomorrow's trying to grow on me a little bit, so I'm still in the valley of decision on that one. But I truly admire everything that you guys are doing, and just keep it up. Keep up the awesome work. It's uber nerds like myself just eat this stuff up. So I love hearing all the, and I don't know whose idea it was to do the Easter eggs and the Batman references and stuff like that starting, but you get mad props for that.
That does go back to podcast number 2, and Wing is a Batman. He hasn't been on the podcast for a while. Nightwing actually started podcast and he actually brought up the bat checklist, because it was amazing at the time. You have to remember, when this came out, it was they didn't have the rights to Batman, so they made Arrow Batman like so this show has all really been Arrow really is Batman, and and so we started the bat checklist, but after a while that kind of got old, and then we went to the DC checklist, and then we're like, okay, let's just do the Easter eggs in every episode. Awesome. So it's been evolving for 4 years.
That is freaking awesome. That's all I wanted to say. I just want to get on and just, you know, hats off to you guys, and truly enjoy everything you do. And especially, you know, Starling, the Starling Tribune, Gunna Geek. I love it.
Yeah, we appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah. Keep doing what you do.
Yeah, thank you very much, man. That's great.
Stuff like that keeps us going, man.
You guys inspired me to actually do my own podcast. So.
Yeah, it's nice. Awesome. I saw that.
Right on. Too.
Yeah, I had actor on from The Walking Dead last night, which was pretty awesome. It was pretty fun. Oh,
cool. I was going to ask you how that went, because I didn't have a chance to view it because we were recording Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. last night.
I actually know the actor personally.
Yeah?
He's like one of my friends. We work together. Okay. And so it was just like talking to one of my best friends. So it was nothing like, oh my God, you know, it wasn't like mind blown moment or anything, but it was fun. And I just want to thank you guys first and foremost for just inspiring me to do this. It's kind of a different take on what you guys are doing, because we're kind of talking about gaming and we're talking about, you know, what comics did I pick up this week? And so, but I love the specific flair that you guys have, because I'm a huge DC fan first and foremost. So I just love all the little tidbits and just every little amount of information that you just keep pouring into it. So just thank you so much.
Oh no, don't anybody do this. No, don't, no. You know what? Yeah. Wait a minute. I got a podcast with them tomorrow night.
I pulled
night.
The trigger, man. Oh, no. I pulled the trigger.
I got a podcast with this guy tomorrow night. So let's let him on. Yeah. You know what? We cannot hear you.
We can't hear you.
The Marvel snipers got you.
There you go. Now you can hear me, right?
No. What, are you saying something? We still can't hear you.
Wait, what?
You're clipping. Turn it down.
You're really low. You're really low, man.
I just wanted to let you know that I dropped a 1-star review in your direction. So
I'm going to give you a 1-star review right here.
I'm going to drop a number 2 in your... general direction.
No, I just want to say great job, guys. I you know me, I always try to check out the blobs, and I strive to thrive summed it up nicely. You guys do a terrific job, and pretty much one of you three will always say what I'm thinking about the episode. You guys have such a good variety of opinions, and I just think that, though, the one thing that we should all agree on, well, Neil and Chris, is that SP is wrong, that both Felicities were amazing.
Yeah. Yes.
You're half right.
Well, I don't think anyone on this podcast would kick her out of bed for eating crackers. Let's put it that way.